Chapter 2, Sutter Home, part of the first era of Napa Valley winemaking. The legacy of Sutter Home. The history of Sutter Home Winery embodies the early history of Napa Valley, from the rise of the region's first winemaking era through to its devastation from a remarkable series of events: the 1906 San Francisco earthquake and fire, the banking panic of 1907, a killer frost in 1916, and the final blow of Prohibition. In 1845, while earlier generations of the Trinchero family were thriving as winemakers in Piemonte, Henry Thoman, a Swiss emigre who had settled in St. Louis, was making his way west to California. In doing so, Thoman crossed thousands of miles of prairies and the mountains of the Continental Divide and the Sierra Nevadas more than two decades before the Transcontinental Railroad would ease travel. A year after Thoman, the infamous Donner Party attempted the same journey with fatal results. In Sonoma County, just west of Napa, the adventurous Thoman joined up with Mariano Vallejo, a retired Mexican general who owned large tracts of land in the Northern Territory of California, including much of what is now Marin, Sonoma, Napa, and Solano counties. Thoman was with Vallejo when upstart frontiersmen seized what is now the city of Sonoma, then a Mexican military outpost and site of the northernmost of the California missions. In what came to be known as the Bear Flag Revolt, the rogue group declared themselves founders of an independent Republic of California and erected the first Bear Flag, which flew for just 3 weeks in 1846 until the Stars and Stripes were officially raised over California en route to statehood. The goal of the Bear Flaggers was to oust the Mexican government, so General Vallejo and his allies were arrested and imprisoned during the short and bloodless rebellion. The turbulence brought Thoman, along with Vallejo, to Sutter's Fort, a U.S. military installation and frontier settlement in the Sacramento Valley. There, Henry Thoman met the influential General John Sutter, no relation to the Sutter family of Sutter Home. John Sutter, like Thoman, was a Swiss emigre, and his fort was an attempt to establish a new Helvetia in the New World. He was determined to build a European-style community, traveler's stop, and farm. To this end, he recruited workers from all parts of Mexico's California Territory, the United States, Switzerland, and Germany. Before long, Thoman was working for Sutter. Eventually, he earned enough money to purchase land from Sutter in Sacramento, which he tilled into a thriving vineyard in 1852, one of the first times grapes were planted in California expressly for making wine. He produced his first vintage in 1856. However, Sutter's utopian dreams were short-lived. In 1848, the same year Mexico ceded California to the United States for good, and exactly a century before Mario Trinchero set down stakes in Napa Valley, gold was discovered at Sutter's Mill in the Sierra Nevada foothills east of Sacramento. The discovery brought hordes of fortune seekers to California and ushered in a wave of lawlessness at New Helvetia, which served as a stopover and source of provisions for would-be gold miners. Sutter was known for his generosity, and almost everyone who passed through took advantage of it. Eventually, Sutter suffered both spiritual and financial bankruptcy, and he and his wife left for the East Coast in 1865. Thoman's Liquid Gold. While Sutter's fortunes declined, Henry Thoman's vineyards and winery thrived. The positive experience inspired Henry's nephew, John Thoman, to leave Switzerland and join him in Sacramento. John worked for his uncle's prosperous wine and plant nursery business until 1874, when he decided to strike out on his own. John Thoman moved to Napa Valley and established the John Thoman Winery and Distillery, just south of St. Helena. Thoman owned 45 acres of grapes on Howell Mountain, east of the valley floor, today renowned for its Zinfandel and Cabernet vines. and prided himself on using only mountain-grown grapes for his wines. He eschewed the popular Mission grape, as well as other varieties predominant in the valley, which he considered inferior material for fine wine, although suitable enough for his daily production of 800 gallons of brandy. Tomon's Napa Valley venture proved successful. In his first year, he produced 40,000 gallons of wine, and by the early 1880s, his annual production reached an impressive 200,000 gallons, roughly equivalent to 83,000 12-bottle cases today, all in the same building that now houses the Trinquero family's Sutter Home Visitor Center. A century later, the Trinquero's production of Sutter Home wines would echo this leap on a contemporary scale, from 30,000 cases in 1978 to more than 3 million cases only 10 years later. Boom to bust. The 1880s ushered in California's first wine boom, and John Tomon joined other immigrant luminaries, Charles Krug, Jakob Berenger, and Jakob Schramm among them, as leaders of Napa Valley's burgeoning wine industry, and also as pillars of the newly established Napa Valley townships where they lived. In addition to running his thriving wine and brandy business, John Tomon served as a county supervisor and director of the St. Helena Bank, and he was a shareholder in the St. Helena Water Company. The region was known mostly for its high-quality Riesling and Zinfandel, the latter often called Claret, like the French Bordeaux, as well as for its fortified wines, such as port and sherry. Business was good, and grape and wine prices rose steadily each year. In 1884, John Tomon constructed a grand Victorian home next to the winery for his wife and four daughters. They lived there until 1900, when Tomon died unexpectedly during a visit to Switzerland. Tomon's family had no interest in the wine business, and they suspended production and sold off the winery's equipment. They also sold their furniture and eventually abandoned the house and winery. Enter Caroline and Emil Leuenberger, another Swiss family who had arrived in the United States in the mid-1880s. Emil was an experienced farmer, and in 1890, the couple purchased 80 acres of land on the lower slopes of Howell Mountain. They founded a winery they called Sutter Home in honor of Caroline's father, John A. Sutter, no relation to the Sutter of Sutter's Fort. Back then, wineries rarely aged, bottled, or distributed their own wines. Instead, once fermentation was complete, the wine was transferred into barrels and transported to wine warehouses in San Francisco, where aging and bottling took place. When ready, the finished wines were distributed from San Francisco by rail or by boat to markets across the United States. By 1895, the Leuenbergers had also established just such a wine and spirits firm called the Sutter Home Winery and Distillery Company on Folsom Street in San Francisco. Sutter Home shipped barreled wine from St. Helena to San Francisco for blending, aging, bottling, and distribution. And for the next decade, the company prospered. On April 18, 1906, the great San Francisco earthquake and fire struck. The area south of Market Street, which housed most of the wine industry's great wine cellars, was hit hard, and up to 15 million gallons of wine were destroyed. The Leuenbergers, like many others, lost everything. In the aftermath of the disaster, many wine businesses relocated to areas outside the city, where they unified initial production, aging, storage, bottling, and shipping under a single roof. While searching for a facility, the Leuenbergers discovered the large abandoned Tomon Winery, which was not only close to their Howell Mountain vineyards, but it also happened to have its own railroad spur as well as a spacious home. The couple purchased the once-thriving Tomon estate at a sheriff's sale for $10 in gold and renamed it Sutter Home. Sutter Home Winery is born. While the Leuenbergers spent weekends and summers in St. Helena, they maintained a residence in San Francisco, where Caroline was a dress designer to the city's wealthy matrons. She employed 35 people in her post-street shop and traveled twice a year to Paris to study the latest fashions. Caroline's brother Albert Sutter took care of winemaking at Sutter Home. During the first few years, the new owners weathered the American banking panic of 1907 and the ensuing depression, during which more than 100,000 wine-loving foreigners headed back home to Southern Europe in hopes of a better job market. With this exodus, the country's annual wine consumption went down by 2.5 million gallons, and Sutter Home's 1908 wine production fell by more than 75% to just 45,000 gallons. In 1909, Sutter Home made no wine at all, though it continued distillery operations. When price wars ensued, wholesale price wines plummeted from 25 to 15 cents per gallon, while grape prices dropped from an average of $20 per ton to just $10 per ton. As a result, by 1912, California's wine grape acreage had declined by 30%. By 1914, just a year before Mario Trinchero was conscripted into the Italian army to fight in World War I, the Leuenbergers' business stabilized. They took up permanent residence in the Napa Valley Victorian mansion, which they named Chalet Bernensis, after their home canton of Bern in Switzerland. Sutter Home resumed purchasing grapes and made 60,000 gallons of wine. However, to finance the nascent war effort, the U.S. government adopted a 6 cent per gallon tax on wine. At about the same time, a proposition calling for a prohibition on the sale, distribution, and consumption of alcoholic beverages showed up on the California state ballot, just a glimpse of the problems to come. One by one, states across the country enacted some form of anti-alcohol legislation. Even the St. Helena Star, a mouthpiece for the local wine industry, changed the name of a regular column from Wines and Vines Notes to Vineyard, Orchard, and Farms, and shifted coverage from wine to the local tree fruit and animal farming industries. Prohibition shutters Sutter Home temporarily. Heavy taxes, growing prohibitionist sentiment, and the killing frost of 1916 were all blows to the first robust era of the Napa Valley wine industry. These problems were further exacerbated by conflicts among local growers who supported proposed state legislation prohibiting the sale of hard liquor because they believed it would boost wine sales, and vintners who correctly feared that the legislation would move California one step closer to a ban on all alcoholic beverages. When America entered the war in 1917, prohibitionists joined forces with patriotic groups who wanted to ban the conversion of necessary foodstuffs into alcohol. And in August of that year, the Lever Food and Fuel Control Act banned the sale of all alcoholic beverages until American armed forces were demobilized. By the war's end, 75% of the states in the Union had passed dry legislation, and prohibition was the law of the land. The winemaking career of the Leuenberger family was over, and Sutter Home fell into dormancy. The loopholes in prohibition, however, allowed Napa Valley vineyards to thrive by shipping grapes all over the country for sacramental and home winemaking. In fact, by the time Mario Trinchero made his way across the Atlantic Ocean to America in 1923, train stations crowded with shipments of grapes from California were a common sight. But because most of the freight cars were unrefrigerated, the grapes that best survived the journey were rugged, thick-skinned varieties like Carignan and Aguacate. As a result, Napa Valley growers who weren't converting their vineyards with prunes, walnuts, or cattle ranches were replanting to these hardy but pedestrian grape varieties, ideal for shipping, less so for quality winemaking. By the repeal of Prohibition, few experienced winemakers remained in Napa Valley, and the market for wine remained feeble. Thanks to the Depression, buying wine was a luxury that many could not afford, and the introduction of canned beer in early 1935 provided a cheap alternative. Finally, although Prohibition failed, the temperance movement did influence drinking habits. A ban on alcohol remained in effect in 18 states, and per capita consumption of wine remained well below a half gallon per year through the mid-1930s. With World War II, however, grain producers' crops were allocated for food production. The supply of wine exceeded that of beer and spirits, and as a result, per capita wine consumption rose again, reaching a gallon a year during the war, and it continued trending upward from there. When the war ended, the energy and dynamism of a victorious country, the strongest and most affluent in all the world, was unleashed. An entrepreneurial zeal was about to revitalize the wine industry and lead a new generation of would-be vintners, John and Mario Trinchero among them, to seek their fortunes amid the vine-carpeted hills of Northern California.